Have you ever been struck by the thought that this might be the day that you die? Gee, thanks, Charlie. Way to really bring us down there, you know. I'm sorry. I know. I'm quite confident that's the thought I got. That the thought that some of you had when I asked that question. No one likes to have thoughts like that. No one likes to think about the reality of death, that this might be the day that we die. But would you grant me and would you admit with me the truthfulness that even though we don't like to think about the subject of death or dying, particularly our own, that it is important to remember that one day we will die, and that today might be that day? Early in the year of last year, I preached a series of lessons here called The Game of Life. And in that series, I shared with you a story that a Dutch author named Louis Smeeds, in his book, How Can Everything Be All Right When Everything Is All Wrong, shared with his readers. It's a powerful illustration about the reality of death. I want to retell that illustration today. He says, I bought a brand new date book yesterday, the kind I use every year. Spiral-bound black imitation leather covers wrapped around pages and pages of blank boxes. Every box or square has a number on it to tell me which day of the month I'm in at the moment. Every square is a frame for one episode of my life. Before I'm through with the book, I will fill the squares with classes to be taught, people with whom I will share lunch, all the everlasting committee meetings I will sit through, and these are only the things I cannot afford to forget. I'll also fill the squares with things I do not write down to remember. Thousands of cups of coffee, some love making, some praying, and I hope gestures of help to my neighbors. But whatever I do, it has to fit inside one of these squares in my date book. I live my life one square at a time. The four lines that make up the box are the walls of time that organize my life. And each box has an invisible door that leads to the next square. As if by a silent stroke, the door opens and I'm pulled through as if by a magnet, sucked into the next square in line. There I will again fill the time frame that seals me. Fill it with my busyness just as I did the square before. As I get older, the squares seem to get smaller. One day I will walk into a square that has no door. There will be no mysterious opening and no walking into an adjoining square. One of these days, I will walk into a square that has no exit. I do not know which square it will be. Isn't that a powerful illustration? The truth is, and we all know this, though we often try to ignore it and pretend it's not true, we know deep down inside that one day our life will come to an end. One day we'll enter a square that has no exit into another day. Not too many years after he wrote that illustration, Smeeds was up on a ladder hanging Christmas lights around the outside of his house. He slipped, fell off the ladder, hit his head on the pavement, went into a coma, and a few days later died. He entered his last square. And one day we will come to the square box that has no door through which we enter into another day. The truth is, that day could be today for any one of us. I could die before I finish preaching this sermon. It's happened. You may have heard about instances like that. You could die before I finish preaching this sermon. I won't make a joke about that. This is really not a joking matter. This very well could be the last sermon I ever preach. It could be the last sermon you ever hear. It could be the last time any one of us ever gathers in this building for the purpose of worshiping and encouraging other Christians. This could be the last day that we live on this earth. That's a difficult thing to think about, isn't it? We don't typically think in those terms. Most days, most normal days, most average days, our minds are not occupied on the thought, this might be my last day, but the normal things that we think about going through an average day, the plans we've made for later that day, what we're going to have for dinner, what we're going to do later in the week, maybe what plans we have later this month. We tend to think about things that we're going to do as if nothing would ever interrupt those plans, as if those plans we've made are a given. They're always going to be carried through. Nothing might ever interrupt the plans that we've made. On the average day, I think, we are prone to forget the words found in the scripture behind me this morning on the screen, James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, where he says, "Look here, you who say today or tomorrow we're going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year, we will do business there and make a profit. How do you know," he says, "what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, and then it's gone." Words like that are hard to internalize, aren't they? As you sit here and listen to me repeat that verse, you agree with it. You know that inevitably one day you will die. I hear those words and I know the truthfulness of those words, and yet we really don't live them. We really don't internalize them. Frederick Buchner, I believe, Buchner. Intellectually, we all know that we will die. But we do not really know it in the sense that the knowledge becomes a part of us. We do not really know it in the sense of living as though it were true. On the contrary, we tend to live as though our lives will go on forever. We know better than that. But most of us think, yeah, I know I will, but my death is way away in the future. Yeah, you might, somebody else might die today, or somebody else might die this week, but my demise, my death is years, down the road, a long, long time from now. Maybe we need to think that way in order to get through the day. I don't know. Maybe we need to have some sense of denial of what is ultimately going to happen in order to do and live life. I don't know if that's just the way it needs to be or not. But every once in a while, we need to pull back that curtain of delusion and be reminded that we're not invincible. That this body is growing older every day. And any number of things could happen at any time to any one of us that might bring this life we're presently enjoying to a close. Now that I've sufficiently got your attention, unless you've just refused to go here with me, let me ask you this question. What if today turned out to be your last day on earth? Are you ready for that possibility? Thank you for your honesty, Robert. I can always count on your honesty. Francis Chan, a name that some of you might be familiar with, wrote a book called Crazy Love and several other popular books recently. Tells the story of a friend of his named Stan. Stan was a successful businessman, was well known in the community where he lived. One day, Stan was giving a eulogy at a memorial service for a friend who had died suddenly and unexpectedly. At the end of his remarks, he encouraged those in attendance to consider giving their lives to Jesus while they had the opportunity to do so, for as he said, you never know when God is going to take your life. At that moment, there's nothing you can do about it. He closed by asking those in attendance the question, what if you died today? Are you ready? With that, he turned around, sat down next to his wife and son who was at the service with him, fell over and died. His wife and son tried to resuscitate him, but there was nothing they could do, just as he had said a few minutes earlier, when it's your time, there's nothing that can be done. Chan says, I'll never forget receiving that phone call and heading over to the Gerlach house. Stan's wife, Susie, was just arriving home. She hugged me and cried. And her son, John, stepped out of the car weeping. He asked me, did you hear what happened? I can't believe it. But I'm so proud of him. My dad died doing what he loved doing most. He was telling people about Jesus. Chan concludes his story with this thought. He says, it happens that quickly. And it could happen to any of us. In the words of my friend Stan Gerlach, are you ready? Are you ready? Can I get you to lay aside the plans you've made for later today? We all have them. I've been asked to perform a wedding this afternoon at 5:00 over at the lake. I haven't yet put down what I want to say. I've got to do that this afternoon. I've got plans. You've got plans for where you're going to go for lunch what you're going to do after lunch, where you're going to go this afternoon, who you're going to spend time with. I've got plans for later this week. I'm going to spend a few days in St. Louis with my wife's family. Maybe you've got plans around the 4th. You're going to go somewhere. You're going to do something. Somebody's coming to your house. You're going to see some relatives maybe you haven't seen in a while. It's going to be a good time. There's going to be food. There's going to be laughter. Going to be family around, gathered around. It's going to be good. You've got plans that are being made. Maybe you've got plans for what you're going to do later this year. Later this year, we're celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary. We've got some plans that we're kind of making around that event. Maybe you've got something coming up later this summer that you're looking forward to, that you're planning about, that you're getting ready for. Maybe you're already planning next year's vacation. You just got off of this year's vacation. Maybe you're already thinking about where you're going to go next year, what you're going to do, what plans need to be put in place to make that happen. Some of you may even be planning on what you're going to do when you retire, how you're going to do that, how you're going to swing it, what you're going to do when you retire. None of that is wrong. It's okay to make plans. We need to make plans. Wise. To not just always be flying by the seat of your pants. It's good to plan some things and to have some things in motion so that things can go smoothly when it comes time for whatever it is you want to do to be done. But how foolish would it be to make plans for later today or later this week or next month or next year or 30 years from now or however it is long until you're going to retire, how foolish it would be to make plans for all of those things and make no plans for what's going to happen when the one thing that's going to happen to every one of us without question, and that is our death. And what happens after that? How foolish to plan for what we're going to eat tonight or what we're going to do next year, but make absolutely no plans for what happens when I die and where I spend eternity. Can I get you to put away for just a moment riding the ski jet later this week or skirting around the lake on a pontoon boat or wherever it is you're going to go for a vacation or whatever it is you're going to do next year? Can I get you to just stop thinking about that for a moment and for one moment of ultimate clarity, think about, okay, what if today was my last day? Am I ready? Am I ready for what will transpire after I'm dead? Have I made plans for that? Or am I just so preoccupied with what's going on here that I never even stop to think about, wow, what about when I die? What then? Where will I spend eternity? And so I want to ask you this question. What if? What if this is the last sermon you ever hear? What if this is the last sermon, turns out to be the last sermon I ever preach? Are we ready for that possibility? Do you know and love Jesus? Is there a point in your life where you said to Jesus, Jesus, I can't do this. I need you. Is there a moment in time when you can look back at your life and remember your humble confession to Jesus? Jesus, I need you in my life. I need your forgiveness. I need you to make me whole and clean me up. Having come to that point of humility and penitence, can you look back on your life and remember that moment when you said to Jesus, Jesus, I want to be baptized into your name and proclaim to all the world that I belong to you? Have you experienced the washing of your sins and the cleansing of your conscience and the removal of sin from your life? If so, then you can say with the Apostle Paul, whether I live or die, it's good. But if you can't look back at your life and point to a time in your life when you humbly confessed and acknowledged your faith in Christ, I would ask you this morning, what on earth, since you're here and not out there, which says to me you are at least hungry and thirsty for the Lord, what on earth are you waiting for? Why risk another moment of your life not being sure of what happens to you when you die? In the words of Ananias to the Apostle Paul so many years ago, what are you waiting for? Get up. Be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do not let Satan deceive you another day into believing that you've got plenty of time to get right with the Lord. Do not let Satan deceive you into thinking another day that there's plenty of time to serve the Lord later. We're not promised another decade, another year, another month, another week, or even another day. In fact, this very moment is all that we really have. What if this is your last moment and your last chance to accept what Jesus has done for you? In a moment, Danny's going to lead an invitation song as he always does. Please don't reach for your books or check out on me here because I want to ask you to do something. Lunch can wait. This is important. We're going to take just a few moments this morning. And I want to challenge you to think about this question that I've posed to you this morning. What if this was my last day? What if this is my last sermon? Am I ready for that possibility? Danny, when you feel it's been appropriate, you lead us. But I want us to just take a moment and listen to what the Spirit of God may be trying to get through to you, but has a hard time doing it out there because there's so much stuff going on. There's so many things to do. There's so much noise. It's quiet. We're going to be quiet here. We're going to give him a chance to break through the clutter, to break through the busyness, to break through the barriers that we erect that keep us from thinking about things like this. We're going to give him a chance to get through all that stuff this morning, to get into your heart and see what's there. This verse was pointed out this morning in class. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me to the way of everlasting. As we take a few moments just to let the Spirit do His work this morning, listen to what He may be trying to say to your heart. Maybe He will say to you, what are you waiting for? You know the right thing to do. Maybe He will say to you, let's get rid of that thing that's holding you back and keeping you from being ready. Maybe He will bring to mind someone in your life that you got a problem with, someone at work, someone in your family, someone in this family. Listen to what He says to you, and then act.